Blog Talk Radio.
Neighborhood, it's a time for giving. And look what Mr. Landlord gave me. It's an eviction notice. Well, that's why Mr. Robinson has to wear this Santa Claus suit to sneak in and out of his building. But it just isn't a disguise, boys and girls, because when I add this little kettle here, and when I add this little bell, it becomes a small business. Yes, Christmas is a season for giving and for taking. And with this little operation, I figure I'll be taking in about $300 or $400 a day. Oh, why must Christmas come but once a year? You know, another reason why Mr. Robinson likes Christmas so much, boys and girls, is because I have so much in common with Santa Claus. We both like to sneak into your house late at night. Only Mr. Santa Claus likes to leave things. Mr. Robinson prefers to take a few things every now and then. Let's see what I have for Christmas today. Ooh, look, a little doll baby. Isn't it so cute, boys and girls? They're not worth a lot of money now, but through the miracle of modern science, Cabbage Patch dolls. Now they're worth a lot of cabbage. I could sell these to little stupid kids for about $50 each. $50 each. Can you believe that? That's why I love Christmas. And that's today's word, boys and girls. Christmas. Do you know any other words that begin with X, boys and girls? How about X? Who could that be, boys and girls?
Robinson! Are you the guy that sold my kid a head of lettuce with a dress on it?
That reminds me of another word, boys and girls, that begins with X. Escape. Well, I'll see you later. And remember, tomorrow, tomorrow, I'll visit you tomorrow when you sound the sleep. Goodbye, boys and girls.
Studios and another edition of the Weekly Video Recap.
With the players.
Come on, live direct from hell. Final.
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that is my cue to start the show. Welcome to another edition of the Hard Rock and Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rock and Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your weekly three-hour get-together, where we bring you all the biggest news from the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and, of course, the wide world of sports. And, guys, welcome to 16th Thursday, the 16th day of the year of our Lord, 2021. The Hard Rock and Sports Show is live. That's right, as we are every Thursday night from 7 till about 9:30. And you got to excuse me. I got home really late. I literally walked in the door, dropped some of my clothes, and ran into do this. So bear in mind, I'm just trying to get myself together. I will send you, yes, Carmine, I will be sending you how late on right now. So, again, I hope you guys have had a great week. It's been a crazy week for me. Lots of personal stuff, family stuff. So I hope you guys are okay. So I hope you guys have had a good week. We're right in the middle of our holiday festivities here at the Hard Rocket Sports Show. Let me get Kamanuch his thing here. Control V and send it to Carmine. And again, so Hard Rockets, we got lots to do tonight. We got everything from we got football, we got some baseball. I got some Rush 40 years ago for Moving Pictures. We're going to talk about that album. We got Nikki Sixx and I had a little conversation, or somebody pretending at least to be Nikki Sixx today. I kind of said tell Nikki Sixx I thought Motley Crue sucked live. I did send him a message. I didn't get a response. So maybe while we're on the air, we'll try again. Maiden, we got a little Maiden to talk about today. Mike Nesmith of the Monkees passed away. That's very sad. Lots to get to. We'll talk about a lot of Giants and Jets. We got Gronk. We got a little who's the greatest Nick of all time. We got Biff Byford. That's right. So you guys, a little sax. We get kicking a little sax. Where do you go and get a little Saxon info every week? We got a little Saxon for you this week. Urban Meyer gets fired. I'm going to ask Jeff about some of the big records that have fallen lately. Seth Curry's now owns the all-time three-point record, and Tom Brady, 700 touchdowns, And to me, they don't mean – I see you, Jeff. That doesn't mean a lot to me, but I want to get Jeff on. I want to get my dad on. Dr. Dumb Jace is going to be joining us. Lots to do. Let's get Jeff on. Let's kick on the Hot Rocket Sports Show live again during the holiday week. And also, Jeff's going to be talking about our newest I won't say sponsor. I hate when I use the word sponsor. Our newest supporter, our newest friend, Hemp Wizard Beard Care Company. Jeff got a care package and used the product this week, so Jeff's going to give a little testimonial on that in a few. But let's get Jeff on to kick off the show, and we got a lot to get to in a short amount of time. So Ed, in the sexiest man on his side of the screen, and my dear friend of 40 years, Mr. Jeff Hefe Talwinski. What's up, Hefe?
Not much. Remember the Grinch's Heart times?
Yes.
Great scene, right?
Yes.
Monumental. Remember when you were a kid, right?
Absolutely.
My heart also grew three times.
Oh, boy.
It grew upon hearing the word.
What word did you hear, Jeff? Urban Meyer was fired?
Fuck Urban Meyer. He has enough of his own issues, but he'll land someplace, some college in some godforsaken state. But the long-awaited anticipated firing of Dave Gettleman, the forced retirement of Dave Gettleman,
You're sure about this?
Minutes.
You're sure?
Positive.
You're absolutely positive that Dave Gettleman is goner.
Yep.
And this makes you happy. In this holiday season where there's giving and peace,
yes.
Peace amongst men and all that good crap, you're happy that Dave Gettleman will be fired.
Yes.
All right.
You know why?
Why would you possibly be happy about that, Jeffrey?
Because our team.
Stop. You're not part of our team. My team, that's my team right there. Not your team.
Our team.
It's not our team. You have no.
Our team.
All right. Let's get my dad on, and then we're gonna hold Dr. Dumb Chaser for a few minutes, and then I'll let you two guys run wild on your hatred of the Giants. So let's get my dad on with some sanity, and then we'll get Dr. Dumb Chaser. What's up, Pop?
Not much. I don't know about sanity, but I don't know. I'm listening to sports today, and it's mm-hmm. like the Knicks may not be able to field the team tonight or tomorrow night. They're playing.
Well, you know, they set themselves up with you know, and all the sports have set themselves up with the high standards to get fully vaccinated people back on the court. And, I don't understand it. But, yeah, the Giants have a bunch of people out. I think there's over 100 football players right now who have COVID, Jeff. And, you know, I think the league is trying to find a way to get around their own. Hey, Sharon.
Hi.
How are you, Sharon?
I like your hat.
Thank you very much. It's got the real team on it.
He has one too, you know.
Yeah, it's fake. It's a green color.
The giant one I have.
No. You're not allowed to wear it.
Am I not a Giants fan?
No, I don't know.
No, I gotta change it. I just got home from the mall, and it's like 1,000 degrees there.
That's okay. She's gonna sit in with us.
No, I'm not.
Thank you, Sharon. Always nice to see Mrs. Talwinski walk by the screen. But so, Dad, what's going with that? So, Dad, I agree with you. So, Jeff, I mean, what do these leagues do, Jeff, to get through this tough time?
I don't know. And it seems in the last week that it's going wild. I know that teams in Canada, Toronto,
yes.
teams,
mm-hmm.
I believe the Ottawa Senators and one other team.
The Raptors, yeah.
Raptors have cut back their arenas to half capacity. I got a bad feeling that this is going to go the wrong way, and they're going to see games with no crowds. And
yeah, well, they've already reduced it to 50%. So, yeah, I think you're partly right. But the problem that – not the problem. What I read today is that most of the players have absolutely no symptoms. They have no issues whatsoever. They just tested positive. And my question is, you know, what do? Do you keep these guys who basically feel fine, are fully vaccinated, and keep them from playing football or playing hockey or whatever sport? Now, what do?
Well, I have to agree in part what you're saying. If you've been vaccinated and you had whatever you're supposed to have,
yeah.
Okay, and you get the symptoms of it, but you don't have it really, you know, where you're going to be sick or anything, then it's like having a cold. You know, I mean, you're not going to kill anybody. You're not going to kill yourself. If you haven't got the shots, that's up to whoever you work for. whether they want to keep you or whatever. That's between you and them. But if you had all your shots, and like they said, a lot of people, a lot of players show the symptoms, but they're not going to keep them out the week, the 10 days. They're only going to keep them out a couple of days, which is, you know, if you're tested good, you know, then it should be. I don't know, you know. Why do we take all the shots if we're still going to run in the corner now?
Well, that's a good point, Jeff. I mean, what's the sense of having all these shots and doing all these things if we can't go out there and just live our life, Jeff?
I totally agree. Unfortunately, you're asking the wrong person. I think that these people are fucking idiots for the way they're treating us. I mean, they said in South Africa 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. a week ago, whatever it was when it first started, that the worst of the symptoms was that people had the sniffles.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, then that's like having the common cold. Does that mean that we shut down the world because people, as she goes again, because people get the common cold? You know, it's unbelievable. I don't know, Tom. It's unbelievable.
I agree.
No, just, to me, at some point, you know, we have to, you know, it sounds like, this is never going to go away. Some form of this thing will be lingering like the flu, like the common cold.
I
got to be honest with you. My own personal thing, and people can think I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is money. This is nothing more than money.
The
government spending billions of dollars pushing it into this. And these people, the drug companies and everybody's just taking that money and running with it.
Of course, the drug companies are selling. Listen, everybody's telling you it's for free. It's not for free, the vaccine. The government's paying for it. So how does the government pay for it? They're paying with our tax money. So of course it's not for free. So now what do the drug companies do? They're giving money to the politicians, the groups, you know, the lobbyists to buy our products. So what do they do? I'm not saying he's a criminal, but the guys like Fauci and them are pushing a product that the farmers, the pharmacies are making money on, and we're paying for. And we're being forced to take it for what reason?
I have to agree with you. I agree with you 100%. Because you can't tell me, I mean, listen, no matter what you do, you're not going to get everybody.
And
I hate to say it, but if you catch the virus and you wind up in a hospital because you didn't get the shot, then it's your problem. I don't feel sorry for you.
I agree.
Right,
I had the shot. And again, over the course of time, this thing will our bodies will create their own immunity to this, and it will become like the flu or even lighter. They're comparing the Omicron the characteristics to the common cold, Jeff. So to me, let it run its course.
No, they said that it's 70 times more contagious, but it's less serious than Delta. So, what is that telling you?
Exactly. What it tells me is, just like Joe Catanzaro saying, it's about control. It's about forcing you to take a product and Big Pharma make money on, the lobbyists and the politicians make money on, and to force us to do it. I mean, they got this moron governor in New York is making people sit at their desk with a mask on. I mean, what's the sense of getting a shot? And do we really believe that this piece of cloth is actually preventing this big, deadly disease from getting into us? Do we really believe that?
The mask is not to prevent you from infecting me. It's prevent me from infecting you, they're saying. They're saying that the mask, it protects, prevents you from spreading the disease if you have it.
But how?
Bullshit.
Yeah, how?
I guess it's blocking. I don't know what to tell you. I guess
I agree with Joe.
It's bullshit.
Yeah, I agree with Joe. The mask.
I totally agree with both of you.
Yeah.
I think it's bullshit. I'm just tired of living life the way it is. But you know what? Until the citizens stand up and just say, you know what? Fuck this. We're not doing it no more. It is what it is. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I agree. So,
you're talking, and I agree with everything you're saying, but you're dealing with the United States government, and nothing more than this is a new form of the boogeyman.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, if you go back into military from the 40s on up, it's been nothing but the boogeyman, okay? We have to spend billions of dollars to save us from the boogeyman. Now, no more, it's not no more, what do you call
it? Well, it's not nuclear
spending.
War. Yeah.
Right. I mean, we had it when we were kids, and it's That's all it is, and you're not going to change it. And no matter who you elect, I don't care if he's a Republican or a Democrat or independent, whatever it is, it's more money. I mean, they're all making money on this.
Listen, everybody, all the medical departments, all these doctors that are advising the government, they're not doing it out of it. They're doing it out of getting money back in their pocket. And nobody's telling me that the big pharma's not kicking back money. Because listen, I get it. You take the vaccines, you can still get it. You can still get it. You can still give it to somebody else. It just reduces it. So let these people just be. If a player wants to play in the league and he's got it, play. If a guy is in the league and doesn't want to play around guys who have it, then let him sit out
and
quit. Don't play the game, Jeff. If you don't want to play around guys who might have the coronavirus, then quit. Go live in your house, close the doors, and stay there. Otherwise, and I agree. Yes, we should elect. DeSantis, you're absolutely right. But God, Jeff, I'm sorry.
Listen, you don't have to argue with me, man. I totally agree. I'm fed up with this shit. Yeah. We went in the mall the other night. My wife's like, "Oh, you got to bring a mask with you." It's like, I'm not wearing a mask in there. And I went in and we did a little Christmas shopping, and there was people in there with no masks on. Not as many as there once was. There's more people wearing masks.
Yeah.
But what was the point of getting the vaccine?
That's the point. Let the body deal with it, man. I'm sorry. I did it. And I don't regret it, but I could have lived without it. And again, I think this is like my father said, it's the boogeyman. It's just a way to control you, to make you do what they want to do, and just find ways to put mandates on people.
I totally agree.
All right. I just figured I dropped that little bit of peace here. I hope everything's good. Tommy, I'll see you over the weekend.
I will see you over the weekend, my pops. That's my dad.
Okay, I talk to you. Jeff. I'll speak to you next week, but just in case I don't, wish you and your family and everybody a happy holidays, man.
Thank you, Mr. Florio. Same to you and Mrs. Florio.
All right, cool. I'll speak to you next week. Take care,
guys. Dad.
Good.
That's my dad. He checks in every week with us, and we love having him. Let's get right to the doctor himself, the guy who's really going to lift the spirits, the man with the holiday spirit, Jeff. Nobody's
the man who threw the eye on the team, and it's working.
I think it bounced back, and I think it went to his team as well and his coach.
You don't care about that. That's fine.
All right, so let's bring him on. Without further ado, the man himself, Dr. Thumb Chaser, Carmine Glorioso. What's up there, Kamanooch?
Fellas, Jeff, how fucking powerful is this thing? It's
Watch where you're aiming at.
No, that's not here.
It's not loaded.
Man, you just take your thumb, you put it between your index finger and your middle finger.
That's the block.
That's okay. The block.
Now, if you're a scumbag like Tommy, it doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
All right. All this fucking bullshit. He sounds a lot like fucking Fauci, this guy. Huh? Fucking Jeff.
You know, I think he sounds more like your friend Cumdrew there.
Cumdrew, let me tell you, Cumdrew is a very special kind of cocksucker. And I know, any cocksucker is a wonderful thing, I guess. Unless it's like, a fucking teacher like Cumdrew trying to suck my joint. But with that being said, again, we both, how many fucking times do I got to show you the power of this fucking thing? I kill your fucking Yankees every year with injury. Oh, but it doesn't matter. Where the fuck did you go? You went to get on the fucking playoff highway, and you know what happened? Your fucking bus turned over. And I took a shit in my hand because I threw a fucking lump of shit right at the bus driver, and the jerk drove right off the fucking road. Now, who's driving?
Who's driving?
That Meza Fanoike, that big fucking Lezzy. We spent $330 million. If I pitch and you take away Spider Tech, I'm as useless as a Bulber Tits. I'm embarrassed for you fucking Yankees.
Oh, you're embarrassed for a Yankee fan? I gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So as a Met fan, you have the balls to come in here with your pie hole and tell us that you're embarrassed for us.
Hold on, Jeff. Stop me when I'm wrong. For 45 cocksucking years, every Met fan's got to watch while the jerk of Yankees buy Reggie Jackson and this and that. And we sit there and go, maybe we'll get John Olerud and maybe he'll come back and not be the fucking stiff that he is. They step in shit once in a while. Mostly That's what they do. This guy says, mother. I am going after your mother, your father, and Cumdrew, and his fucking brothers. Only because you have to do this now.
So
the Yankees, in their infinite wisdom, says, hey, we need a shortstop. So what do you jerk-offs do? You go and get fucking Jose Peraza, the blowjob who had 120 bats with the Mets. He hit 5 home runs or something, whatever the fuck he did, and he batted about 170. Ooh, great job. We spent $250 million.
So should we go sign Lindor like you guys did and watch him do this?
No. Sign the other guy.
Why? I don't want to sign another $340 million shortstop for 10 years.
Well, you're spending a bunch of jerk-offs. You got to do it with Judge.
Yeah, so, okay. Yes, I agree with that.
All right, so then tell me what you're going to do.
What I would do?
If you jerk off with that one, guess what
I would do. Here's what I would do. Judge gets a 5-year deal for as much money as he wants. 5 years, no more. Okay? You give him a 5 years.
Okay.
5 years, $200 million. How's that?
He gets hurt all the time.
No. The last year, he had a great year. But you're going to have to pay him.
He's a great ball player.
You're going to have to pay him. But I'm not giving him 10 years. I'm going to give him 5. 5 years, write the number down on a piece of paper. I'm going to go and sign me a second-level shortstop. I bring Didi back if you could.
Hold on. Tell me what second-level shortstop.
Didi Gregorius. Didi's still out there. Didi Gregorius is still out there. I'd take Didi for a year or two.
I would too.
Okay, so I'll sign Didi, and then I'll wait for the two kids coming up in the minors. If they believe in the kids in the minors, Volpe and the other one, then I would wait for those. I would not sign one of those guys, and then I would sign Rizzo and get rid of Sanchez and his mother's Begac, and I would get rid of Voigt.
They already signed him.
I'm that's the biggest part of. If you wanted to give me the Malokia, that's the Malokia you gave me. I got to look at another year of Sanchez spin and blah, 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 down the field as the worst catcher in baseball.
He's a bull with tits.
100%.
He pops up. The guy can hit a fucking 1,200-foot home run, and then he'll strike out another fucking 30 times.
Now, other than that, I'll say this. As a Yankee fan, I'm impressed with the Mets offseason so far. Okay, but
listen, seriously,
yeah, your guy,
it's about fucking time.
Right, but I'll give him this. His first year was a disgrace. You had Lindor and Baez.
The first year he promised everyone he wasn't going to be a dick.
Yeah.
I'm not going to send money. And I sat there and go, what the fuck? Do we got Wilpon again?
Yeah.
And then this year I went, okay, hopefully he's not done. And again, this doesn't mean I'm going to say it clear.
Yeah.
And Jeff, you can hear it, so this cocksucker and the rest of his ball-licking Yankee fan fucking friends don't spin the fucking top. I do not think the Mets are fucking getting to the World Series, let alone winning one.
Well, listen.
They will be a playoff contender.
That's
all I'm fucking asking.
Here's what I'll tell you. I think first off, you have to deal with Cano coming back. Where do you stick Cano?
Stick him in his mother's twat.
Right.
Bye.
Right.
Do another few fucking lines. Get the fuck out of here.
I agree with you. Now, the key to the whole thing is somehow getting DeGrom through a season somehow.
I'm not telling you. I'm not worried. I am worried about it.
You have to be worried.
That's no bullshit.
You have to be worried. After the last couple of years, you have to be worried that
no,
he's not.
No, couple of years. He didn't have any problems last year.
What's
the problem this year, Tom?
Okay, 20, he was good. The year before, he had some injuries. The year before that.
He was good. He was almost fucking, he almost won a Cy Young for the third straight.
I got you. And again, if he stays healthy, he stays on the field. But you got to be, let's put it this way. Anytime the guy misses that much time and they go, we're really not sure why he was out, really kind of concerns
that's
me.
That's concerning.
Yeah.
So that's the problem.
Know what that's like, Tom? You know, back in the day, of course, we're all married men now, very happy. But I'm saying, let's go to our points when we were single.
Yeah, go ahead, Colin.
We were legend. I still think I'm a legend in my own mind. But, back then, some of us didn't wear rubbers. And it's this, shake the fucking dice, bro. Good. You're 11. And then eventually you're going to 7 out. Now, if you 7 out, you get, you know, a little dose of the package.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be dripping like the good human man at Summit. This is not good.
Yeah, I wouldn't know about that. Maybe Jeff's more of a veteran in this than I am. I would not know any about this.
Yep. Would we prefer to get gonorrhea or no?
It all depends on who the chick was. Was she worth it?
You know what, Jeff? I knew I fucking loved
her. Again, I have to do the disclaimer. Of course, the thoughts and comments of Dr. Thumbchaser are those of himself.
Are the same as Tom Florio.
I don't necessarily agree with those of us here at the Hard Rock and Sports Show or our supporters, much like our friends at Hemp Wizard Beard Care Company. Which Jeff will be doing.
Fucked up. They got some good shit.
Jeff is going to be doing a little bit of a review on that very shortly. They're a beard care company. It might be good for your little beard care, Carmine. They sell a nice product.
But they're hemping it?
I believe so.
Hemp
yes.
It, yeah.
Yeah.
So hold on.
You're not getting.
What does it do, Jeff?
It's a conditioner and an oil for your beard. For your beard.
You get stoned?
Not at all.
Motherfucker.
But there's other people that deal with hemp. A different kind of hemp that you can get that.
Like Tommy. Tommy's a little hemped up, no?
Yes, yeah, so I'm a little hemped up, Nick Harmer. Yes.
I would pay to see Tommy all hemped up.
Oh, my God.
It has never happened, and it will never happen, but that's okay. So, but, okay, we use hemp seed oil and cannabis-derived terpenes in it. That's our good friends Joe Cassano and Mike Wiseman. Those are the guys from Hemp Wizard. And I want to thank them for joining our little team here, our little family. And after Carmine's visit, Jeff will give a little review on the products he received and thanks from those guys. And Carmine, listen, if you're a Mets fan, it's a little bit – listen, you got Scherzer. That's a big move. You got to figure Lindor's going to rebound. Got to come back this year with a better year.
I hope so.
You know, and I don't think that for any reason that your guy is done. I don't know what he's going to go out there and get. But I think Cohen's going to go out there. And, you know, I like Billy Epler. I think Billy Epler's a good guy to have in your front office. Get rid of Alderson, that fossil.
Oh, do me. And I'm very happy that we got rid of that fucking Stroman. It didn't, fuck, that guy's a fucking walking billboard for being a pussy.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
Now, here's the question. Who do you, there's three names left. You got Espada, you got Quintaro, and you got Showalter. Are you a Showalter guy? Do you want Buck Showalter?
If they did pick anybody, then Showalter, they are fucking jerks.
I agree. Showalter's good for 3 years.
Let him fucking run it.
3 years. You got to put somebody in the bench with him because Showalter has proven one thing. After 3 years, people stop listening to him. He did it.
And that's
he happened with the Yankees.
Either he wakes up some guys, I'll say this. We'll wake up and try to accommodate, but the way they're willing to fucking give this guy a contract is they saw what Tony La Russa did,
sure,
and they saw what Dusty Baker did.
Sure.
You know what? Flat on their faces, that probably wouldn't be the case.
I agree with you on that. That's a great point. That is a great point. Yeah, I think that helped this, but I think Buck is one of the smartest managers I've ever seen. He has a tendency after 3 years. He did it with the Yankees. 3 years he was gone. He did it. He went to Arizona.
He got fucked with the Yankees.
Well, again, to a certain extent.
Me and you could have managed that fucking team and won the fucking title.
I'm not disagreeing to a certain extent, but listen.
Okay.
But again, win one, yes. Win four, you got to give Torrey some credit for one.
I'm not saying what Torrey was good at was deflecting shit
yes.
from his people and onto him.
Yes, agreed.
He was smart
yes.
to do that.
100%.
He picked his nose an awful fucking lot, watching on TV, and would fucking regurgitate him. I'm like, Joe, leave that fucking hunk of shit you got in there. I can't keep watching your fucking big at it.
Well, yes, I would agree with you on that. But, I think if they're smart, they get Showalter, put somebody on his staff that's the future guy, and let Showalter do 3-4 years.
Curtis Granderson.
I've heard great stuff about Curtis Granderson.
We're talking about
yeah, I've heard great stuff about Curtis Granderson, and there's a few guys you can do that to, but... Yeah, whoever it is you deem to be the guy, 3-4 years,
right.
Yes. And let him sit next to Showalter and learn the analytics side and learn the baseball side. And I think that would be – listen, I think it'd be great for New York to have the Mets, you know, finally after all these decades of being putrid and disgusting like the Jets. It would be nice to have
Why don't you eat a donkey cock, you fuck?
it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to be a Yankee and a Giant fan having to show up at the league meetings and go, yeah, they're in the city with us. Yeah, what are you going to do? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On the Giants won. I was in high school the last time they won.
You weren't even born the last time the Jets won anything, so what are you talking about?
Yeah, but come on.
Come on.
I will be the first person to come on here and tell you the Jets suck. Okay?
Yep, and so am I.
They come lose. The Giants will come out and lose 7 in a row, and Tommy's like, they got a chance.
Hey, that's it. That's
it. They're looking good.
I am a dedicated Giant fan. I look at the future. I look for the bright spots.
I told you. Get rid of Gettleman.
Oh, he's going to be gone.
Gettleman goes.
Hold on.
Oh.
Bye, fucking Gettleman. You hog mollies. Hog molly, you fucking cocky scumbag.
Okay. Then they're going to fire the coach.
I'm going to lose the new supporter. We got... The guys from Hemp was going to run away from us at this point.
Listen, they'll learn.
Are these guys a little too straight?
No, I don't think so.
No, but even you were scared these guys away.
Well, I'm a jerk-off. I'm sorry. Just say, they explain it that way, Tom.
No.
My friend, he's just a fucking jerk-off. Oh, okay, he's a jerk-off. All right.
Yeah, they sense that they're all in the run up. I'll have to tell them at this point.
All right, now listen. I want to let you guys, you and your father, and by the way, Mr. Florio, to you and your wife, God bless you both. Merry Christmas. Let's say fucking happy holidays. Merry Christmas, everybody. But I was hearing the words talking about this shit with this blowjob pandemic.
Okay.
Here's something. I go to my doctor, and I was going to get the shot. Now, this year, it was in, the end of February. I got my balls kicked in by this virus.
Yep.
I'm not saying it's not real. It's real.
Of course it is.
I was out a month and a half, and it kicked the fucking shit out of me. I thought I was going to tap out. But I didn't.
Right.
So now I go to the doctor about a month ago, and the doctor's, well, you know, you got to take the shot. I'm like, I'm contemplating on that, but one thing I want to do is I want to see where I am with the antibodies.
Right.
He says, oh, okay, that makes sense. I said, so what's the number? What do you mean the number? Well, what number is sufficient?
Yeah.
And for this thing? I mean, he goes, we don't know. I went, wait a minute. I said, you fucking injected 250 million people. What do you mean you don't know how many? What's the number? Is it 5? Is it 10? Is it 100? Is it 1,000? What is it? Oh, I don't know. I wanted to slap the Asian out of him and make him his fucking eyes rounded after I fucking cracked him. And I went, hold on. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the blood work. And if my numbers are not good, even though you have no idea where the fuck they should be, I'll take the shot. I said, my family will not. My wife won't. She had. I came home. I gave it to her. She almost kicked the fucking bucket too. And my daughters got it. They were fine. So long story short, I get the thing, and my blood, the count was over 1,600. So the nurse calls me and goes, "Do not take the shot." And I was like, "Huh?" She goes, "Don't take the shot." I said, "There were. I'll just tell you, there were two people that came in that just got the fucking shot and they wanted to see what the antibodies were.
Mm-hmm.
One woman had a 0 and another woman had a 5. So, suck my Italian fucking salami. I'm not taking it. Unless my numbers are fucking nil, I will take it. I'm not against anyone that wants to take it.
I agree with you. Yes.
But you guys made fucking perfect sense. But what did you take this shot for? If you're worried about, we're worried about you not having this shot, but you have the shot. What the fuck are we talking about?
Well, you know, I have had this conversation with people at work, and even my own dad. You know, a few weeks back, I had a conversation with my dad, and he was like, you had to get it because, you know, it protects you. And I said, no, Dad, I can still get COVID.
But just not as bad.
I could give it to somebody else. Somebody else could give it to me. I said, so the only person that's affected by a chance of something bad happening is the guy who doesn't want to get the shot. So if he don't want to get it, that's his business. You know, I don't understand. If I can still get it, what's the difference? And, you know, again, everybody's got their reason, but when you really look at it, it's no different. The only thing they're telling you is, okay, you won't do it. You know, you won't get terribly sick and you won't die. And I, you know, listen, I still think if you're going to die, you're going to die from it. There's nothing you can do.
That's
So,
and if I was going to die when I got sick, it is what it is.
How could they tell you whether you're going to die or not if they don't know if the antibodies are high enough, if you get the vaccine? It's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot.
Yeah. I said to him, you know, Jeff, and I said to him, I said, why not? I mean, I said, you watch these commercials, and the guy says, okay, and if you take this drug, you're susceptible to cancer. Some cancers that can kill you. You could get blind. You could get, you hear these things to the fucking thing. Like, what the fuck am I taking this drug for? But on this, they don't want to say if there's any fucking side effects. Mate, just put the fucking shit out there. Like you do with that, and it's a disclaimer. Hey, guy, you take the vaccine, 99% nothing's going to happen. Oh, of the 1%, you could go blind. You could get your balls could turn inside out, whatever. Don't fucking tell me they don't know.
That's with any vaccine. Any vaccine, there's a certain amount of side effects that affect people certain ways. I could take a vaccine, nothing can happen. You could take a vaccine, it could all but kill you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
If they turned around and they said to me, which they never did, and I got the vaccine too because of work related issues.
I don't begrudge anyone. Go ahead, Jeff.
If they turned around and they said, you get the vaccine and you won't have to worry about, you know, catching this virus or whatever, I would be like, okay, that's fine with me. I'll go get the vaccine tomorrow. But I had COVID. I didn't even know that I had it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Holy shit.
I
way back.
I tested before I got the fucking vaccine. They were through.
And what did it say?
It was high. It was high. Let's put it this way. Mine were 220, right? Now, all of the tests, from what I understand, measure differently. A guy I work with had COVID at Christmas time and had the vaccine fully vaccinated. His antibodies were 250. Okay, this was in September. I had had the virus in April of 2020, wasn't vaccinated at the time. My antibodies were 220. His were 250. Mine were 220.
My God.
So you tell me.
Hey, Anthony Carey, how are you, brother? Love hearing you. And I like the fact that I hear you're moving back. I hope it's for the right reason, my brother. We'll see. But let's see. I do some comments. Thanks to the boys from Hemp Wizard hanging around there. Yeah, I don't know. Listen, guys, it's all about money. It's all about the politic of it. It's all about the control. And yes, you know, Mike and Joe. Yeah, someday I'm going to move to Florida and get out of this hellhole of a city. I can't stand it anymore. But that's a few years down the road. And but right now we got a lot of we got a lot to do right now. Just get to the holiday, and you know, we're happy to have Doc. Paul Dagostino ripping you guys up, man. Ripping you guys. Dr. Thumb Chaser. By the way, I sent you a friendiversary thing this week, and you didn't even get back to me, you fucking pig.
Well, dude, I didn't you pig. I was afraid what the fuck it was going to be on there. I'm like, do I got to worry? I'm offended.
It was our sixth anniversary, a friendiversary on Facebook. I sent him a thing and said, you know, no flowers, no candy.
Send it to... Do me a favor, because I opened it up this morning. It was 4 o'clock in the fucking morning. I'm
oh
like,
my God!
Can I press this? And I'm like,
oh my God!
I think he gave you something.
Yeah, I gave him something.
He probably gave me a virus. This fucking cock. All because of, and then you know what? He and many of these fucking Yankee fans said to me after we spent $250 million and went, "What are you gonna get a manager? That's what you should want. Who gives a fuck if they get fucking Casey?" Dig him up.
You guys will always be second class citizens. You guys will always be second class. Second. In the back.
That's very cool.
Well, you'll always be second class. Cool. When you win 20, when the Jets win the second title, they don't have to win four. Just win a second. Or when the Mets win like another one, maybe 20 years from now, then they won't be second class citizens anymore.
Just remember, I'm being nice. Yeah. I'm not going to give you the old fucking thumb chaser salute. But if you come at me, if you come at me, it's going to get fucking ugly, cuz.
Okay. We'll see after the holidays. I wouldn't want to invoke the Maloikia before the holiday. Yeah. After the holiday, am I going after the Maloikia?
Well, boys, listen, Merry Christmas to you both, Jeff, Tommy. I love you guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
Stay safe. And some of my Yankee fan friends, please, pretty please, with sugar on top, go fuck your mouth.
Thanks, Carmine. I love you, brother. Have a Merry Christmas to you and the family.
You too, guys. Be well, boys.
See you later, man.
See you later, Carmine.
Ciao.
That's Dr. Doug Chaser. You know, it's so weird. One minute he's telling you to F my mouth, and then he says, Merry Christmas. I love you.
At least you know where you stand.
That's it. Hard Rock and Sports. Jeff Town. That was Dr. Thumb Chase. Imagine we go from my father to that. It's kind of like, it's like going from.
I like the transition.
It's a hell of a segue. Thanks for everybody joining us. We're having some fun. I haven't even touched on sports yet, really, or music. Got a lot to do. We got a little Maiden. We got some Saxon to talk about. Big anniversary for Rush. We'll get to that. We're going to talk a lot about the Jets and the Giants. Thank you very much. You like my Let's Go Brandon shirt? With the real president on it. Nice, right? There you go. Imagine if he was here, we wouldn't be paying $17 a gallon for gas. That's all right. We'll be back.
Just great. Just what we need. Let's replace one near 80-year-old man with another fucking. I'll take the same guy any day.
I'll take the sanity any day. But let's get on to Jeff. Let's do your review. We have our good friends now, Mike and Joe and everybody down at Hemp Wizard Beard Care Company, and we value their friendship. They obviously listened to the show. They did a little advertising for us this week, and they sent you out a package.
Man, let me smell that stuff.
Smells great.
Yeah, it does. It smells very Xmas-y. This is the oil,
mm-hmm.
Little thing of oil. I put a little dab in there. It's great. It makes it nice and smooth. This I have in the shower.
Okay.
And I use this. This is the conditioner, I believe.
Uh-huh.
It suds up like shampoo. Is this conditioner or shampoo? This one smells good, too. I don't know. You know what? Here, Tom. Smell that one.
Minty.
Yeah. Smells good. And I use this every morning, you know, while I'm in the shower. They're both great. I would highly recommend them. You know, my wife said that my beard smells nice and Christmassy.
And is it making you get a little, is the beard feel a little different? It's a cleansing conditioner, Jeff. They're both
cleansing conditioner. There you go. Thank you, fellas.
Yes.
Is the beard what?
Is it
a little softer?
Yeah. Do you feel a little smoother this week?
A little, but I'd imagine the more I use it, the more that it's going to absorb in there, the more it'll make it manageable and softer. But yeah, I can tell a little bit of a difference already. Yeah. I started using it and okay. I like it. The suds is up. Smells
uh-huh.
good. You know.
Okay.
My only thing I can say to you is just grow a beard, man.
Well, make sure you guys, now let's get, I'm going to do my best to give out. I think I have their all their stuff here. Let me.
That took 5.5 years, Paul. 5.5 years.
Use the truth of the beard and like the Vikings and did, oh, would look bad. It would look badass.
Hold on, Tom. Anthony Carey. I will wear my beard permanently like a Viking when you come back.
There you go. And join the Hard Rock and Sports Band again. And we'll see if that'll happen. Guys, go to HempWizardBeardCareCo.BigCartel.com to check out their website and make sure you listen. I'm sure if you guys get your orders in real quick, the Santa Wizard will get you your stuff right away. So. No, I know the Santa Wizard, he works day and night, and they will get you your stuff. I'm going to guarantee it on their behalf. So please go to Hemp Wizard Beard Care.
Right, no pressure
there, man. Hemp Wizard Beard Care Co.BigCartel.com. You can also send them a message at Hemp Wizard Beard Care Co@Yahoo.com or hit them up on Facebook or Instagram, all these places. And make sure that you tell them that you were recommended by the Hard Rock and Sports Show, so they stay friendly with us because we like them. Through the end of the month, use code 420. It saves you 42%. 42%. And if you don't know what 420 is, then you probably don't have anything to do with hemp. I'm not even a hemp guy, and I know what 420 is. So 42%. Jeff, they got a lot of ironic stuff, Jeff.
Yes, they do. And oh, thank you, Paul DeAgostino, for the comment. I appreciate that. But you know what, dude? The oil. I really like the oil.
Yeah?
It smells really...
You weren't using it on any other places of your body other than your beard, right?
No, listen, you know, you don't know what's going on that night. You might want to throw a little dab in there.
Slick it up?
Slick it up, yeah, you know.
Okay, I got you.
Textures make everything look bigger.
It can be used for massages, Jeff. Even yourself massaging.
There you go.
So make sure you guys, if you got someone in your family who's got a beard, whether it's maybe your uncle, maybe your great aunt, maybe she's got a few whiskers flying around.
Grandma has a beard.
Maybe grandma's got a little bit of the foliage happening down there. There you go. Always get a little stocking stuffer for grandma by going to Hemp Wizard Beard Care Co. BigCartel.com for all your needs. So guys, make sure you support those guys. They're fun guys. They had a lot of fun with Mike on the show, Mike and Joe on the show last week. And they have lotions for the ladies, Jeff. Look at this.
I got to look at the website.
I'm going to have to go on the website too. I think my wife's going to need maybe something little lotion for the stocking this year. So
yeah, you have anything that makes them smell Christmassy?
Now, I was thinking, what would the Jeff? If, you know, they talk about they do fragrances for people. I think I've come up. I think your fragrance, Jeff, would be White Castle, whiskey, and pepper spray. That would be the Jeff's. That would be the Jeff set.
The White Castle and whiskey is okay. Pepper spray may be a little
I imagine you had a couple of White Castles, a couple of White Castles, a little whiskey, and the wife shaking you off with a little pepper spray. So
you know what? Maybe we could call it.
What we could call it, Jeff?
Diaper.
Diaper. I don't think they want to be associated with your smell at this point. I think it's over. But I guess
you could always maybe get suggestions. Ask the people.
Yeah, I think we should do that.
Give us some suggestions so we can forward it to these guys.
I agree.
What scent you would like? You know what I mean? You can watch what you're saying there, Joe.
Yeah, Joe, be careful.
You have no idea what the fuck you're dealing with here.
The dapper diaper, Jeff. Look, he's already got it done for you.
I just want to let Joe know I have to go to work tomorrow. Okay, I got to work overtime tomorrow. My boss has been out sick. I plan on going there and just pretty much sitting there for 4 hours. So I have plenty of time to think of some fucking fragrances. I'm going to write them down and send you some good ones. See how close you guys can come.
See how daring they can be?
Yeah. And then I'm not going to ask the question, how did you achieve that?
You can do burning flesh if you want.
Boy, I'm going to come up with some good ones. Don't you worry about it.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you this. Don't be careful because I've walked past the bathroom and there's some funky smells coming out of when Jeff's in there. So be careful what you agreed to, Joe and Mike.
Not even that. I just come up with some fucking... I'll mix some fucking scents together.
Again, you guys are the best. They really are the nicest guys you can talk to. So please do me a favor. Support them up. Small businesses are big. Support these guys.
The model of the conditioner?
Yeah, put it a little closer to the screen, Jeff, so people can see it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to... The lighting is kind of bad, so you can see.
And if you buy enough stuff, you may get a visit from the Hemp Wizard himself. I've seen him in action. You may want to buy a couple cases.
The Earl.
There's the Earl.
The Earl, yeah.
Nice.
Doesn't take much. Just a little dab, like a pea-sized dab.
Mm-hmm.
And it you just keep going in, going and going and going, and it's nice and smooth.
There you go. Paul Gills. I got drunk and forgot. Paul Gills sent me a private message. No, I'm just answering. I'm sorry.
Oh.
I want Paul to come on. We want to talk Mets, but I also want to talk about the Beatles. I watched the third episode of the Get Back, and it was absolutely amazing. So I want to get somebody. Since you won't watch it, I got to get somebody on.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Did I
watch the first episode?
You did?
No.
Oh, see, I didn't think you did. You fucking cock.
You know what happened?
What? What happened now?
I forgot.
Yeah, I didn't. What else is new? Actually,
no. That's a lie. I'm not gonna lie. I can't lie to you. You know what happened?
What happened?
You told me it's a 3-hour episode. I thought this whole thing was like 3 hours.
No.
You really think I'm gonna invest like 9 hours into the fucking Beatles?
Bro? You have to. I'm telling you, it's history. You're watching history. You have to watch it.
No, it'll take me about a month and a half to get through 9 hours of that shit. With the amount of TV I watch.
You're insane. It is the best. It is absolutely the best thing ever.
I'm not saying that it's not a good thing to watch.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that, you know, I don't watch TV. You really don't watch TV that much. And Anthony Carey, no, I did not listen.
I try to. I try to, and I just can't. It's just too progressive. It's too long. It's some of it's not bad. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not running to hear it again.
Maiden is one of those bands that I really don't think that we need to get new music from Iron Maiden. No, they're putting out new albums kind of regularly, so you know you're going to get something. And you know what? I couldn't even tell you what the last album was called. Book of Souls. Tornado of Lost Prayers or something. I don't know.
No, Book of Souls. It was.
So that was close.
Yeah.
But I don't. I heard it once. That's it. I like the song El Dorado. That I like. Final Frontier,
mm-hmm.
I believe.
Yep, Final Frontier is a good album.
El Dorado.
Yes, there's some good songs. There's some good songs on that album. I want to talk about, well, right now, we're talking about Maiden. They were in the Blabbermouth had an article. One of them, I think it was Bruce. They basically said, listen, we don't write songs based on what the fans want to hear. We write what we want to write. And that's fine. It's no problem. Just the fans. I don't know if it's all fans. I know that what's his name, Lou Toro, seems to love the album. You know,
yeah, he does. But I honestly, I would think at this point in time, it's either you love it or you don't like it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and it's not something that, you know, when Maiden used to go on tour, I was like, all right, I was one of the first people I knew of to get the album. I couldn't wait to possibly get tickets. Now it's like, oh, shit, they put out an album. When did that one came out? Oh, 6 months ago? I didn't even know. You know, it's just like I've lost my urge.
Yeah, no, I get it. No, I get it. You know, listen, I'm looking forward to next year. They're coming in next year to play in October. I'm going to go. I'm actually thinking about going. They're going to open up, I think, the tour in Tampa. So I was actually thinking about flying to Tampa and going to see Maiden in Tampa. Do something different. Do a vacation out of it. That's a year away. As far as the album goes, I haven't bought it, which is surprising. I don't know. Did anybody of you guys, I don't know. Jeff, you lose volume? Anybody else lose volume?
No, I didn't seem to lose anything.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, guys. Hope it's not nothing to do with us. Again, Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff, Tom, and all of you hanging out here on a Thursday night. So, Jeff, can you believe we're a week and a half from not even a week, we're 8 days from Christmas.
Yeah.
It's depressing.
You put a curse on it.
I did? How did I put a curse on it?
When you were like, well, you know, I love all of the leading up to it.
Yeah.
It's down the other thing. And then all of a sudden, it's like I looked at the calendar at work, and I'm like, what the fuck? We're hours away,
it seems.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know about you. I still have Christmas shopping to do.
Oh, my. I haven't even done anything yet. I've done.
Get food.
Yeah.
We have some food. We got to get more food.
Yeah.
And, you know, just be ready. Be prepared.
Yeah, I've been watching my shows. I got through a bunch of the cartoons. I watched The Year Without a Santa Claus, Twas the Night Before Christmas with the mice running around in the clock. I watched
that one.
I love that one. One of my favorite.
Yeah.
Love that one. One of my favorite. I'm going to watch
Mouse and stuff.
Yep, I'm going to watch Fred Claus this weekend. I've been told that Fred Claus is a great Christmas movie, so I'm going to check it out. I'll give you something today. Our friend Tom Tarasco, how did I say his name? Jessica's husband, Tarasco. He put one up this week, a post, is which one is more of a Christmas movie? I think both of them are. Die Hard or Lethal Weapon?
I don't know. I've seen them each once or twice. That was enough for me. I don't need to see it every year.
Oh, I watch it every year. Anytime those movies are on, I try to get a few minutes of it at least. I love those movies.
If you're watching those movies on Christmas, that means one thing.
What's it mean?
That means that you're having a peaceful Christmas. You're not at somebody else's house.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to sit there, lounge all fucking day, maybe changing out of your pajamas at about 3 o'clock.
Oh, stay in the pajamas all day if you can. See, now I like Die Hard better. Joe, I'm with Joe on this. I like Die Hard better. Lethal Weapon's good. It's a little slow. Die Hard, you're right in. You're 10 minutes in, and people are getting blasted. You got to love it. I like Bruce Willis a little better than I like Mel Gibson.
Neither one for me. I couldn't care less.
Like
Christmas Day, the last thing I want to do is sit and watch some fucking...
Well, what do you do on Christmas Day? What do you do on Christmas Day? Okay. What's a Jeff Christmas day like? Everybody wants to know out here, Mike and Anthony and Joe and Paul and everybody listening and watching us, they want to know, what's Jeff's Christmas day like?
I wake up.
What time do you get up?
Whatever, early.
4 o'clock? Is it 5 o'clock? Is it 7 o'clock?
Between 5 and 6, 7, probably closer to 6. And then I end up going downstairs and realizing that if there's any gifts in my house, I already opened up the night before, so I won't be opening up anything for Christmas morning.
So you don't save one gift to open? You're tearing it on Christmas Eve. You're tearing it apart.
Yeah. And then we go to my mother's house, which means that I'm sitting in traffic trying to get there.
Okay.
And all the inventive new ways of getting to the outer bridge have all been negated thanks to the fucking Bricktown Mall. So it takes forever to get over to Jersey. Then we go there, and my father will be like, we saved some fish for you. You want some? I'm like, nah, I don't want none. Okay. 2 minutes later, got some fish for you. You want it? No, that's okay. So he'll ask me 73 times. Fish or whatever, and then we finally sit down to eat. We exchange presents with me, mom and dad.
Yep.
And then...
Is your brother there? Does Greg come with the kids?
Sometimes he comes, once in a while, but... You know, his kids want to sit at home, too, and relax. And then we end up going home, and that's it.
That's your day?
Pretty much, yeah. Come, there's nobody left to go visit. They're all dead.
My day is simple, Jeff. I get up in the morning nice and early, Christmas Day. Most of my gifts are, some are open. Usually we open the gifts at my parents' house, and then my wife's night gifts we'll do Christmas Day. And we'll go through the gifts, and then it's either one of two things. Either I'm setting up and all the kids are coming out for the day and we're going to cook and hang out. The TV's on and I'm watching movies and I'm with Anthony. Miracle on 34th Street is a classic. You got to see the original, not the 1977 version or the 1980s version. You got to see the 1950-something version with Edmund, what the hell is this guy's name? God, is it Edmund O'Brien? No, it's not Edmund O'Brien. Oh, my God.
The guy that played in fucking the Lou Gehrig movie. Gary Cooper, right?
No, it's not Gary. Miracle on 34th is not Gary Cooper. No, 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 no.
Oh, okay.
No, that's not Gary Cooper.
Came out in the 40s, I believe, not the 50s.
I think it's the 50s, but it could be 49. It's Natalie Wood. It's a really good cast. So I'll watch that on Christmas Day, and anything else that's coming up, I avoid the basketball games, and it's just Christmas movies and Christmas music all day long because it's my last day of it. So I'm gonna write it out to the end. I'll disagree with Frank Catalano. Frankie's one of the best.
1947.
There you go. Okay. Christmas Vacation is pretty good. I've already watched it once this year. So
why
this.
Why don't you come up on the Christmas music that soon?
Well, because they stopped playing the list. Once they stop playing it on the radio, I'm not running for it anywhere else.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not running anywhere else. I'll listen to it as long as it's on. You know, Sirius keeps it playing. 106.7 will end it Christmas Day. Once Sirius ends it, then I'm going back to regular music.
Really?
Yep. But I got plenty of this. And Frankie, I disagree with you. I love you to death, Frank. I think Die Hard is absolutely a Christmas movie. I would never have considered Lethal Weapon one, but it is Christmassy. But I think Die Hard is absolutely one for sure. Listen to the Osmond's Family Christmas is a Christmas show. I would agree with that. I love those. The Dean Martin Christmas specials and all those ones were great from yesteryear. I hope they play them all. I would like to see some channel playing all of those this year. It would be nice. I'd love to watch.
My wife was talking about that the other day. And she was like, I can't watch some of the newer Christmas stuff.
I agree with her.
Like, the Christmas stuff didn't seem to really happen until past 1965.
Mm-hmm.
That's when all the real Christmas stuff was, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't like the newer stuff either.
Yeah, I can't get into the newer ones. It's kind of like the new wrestling. You know, it's good and all, but maybe I like the grainy, old school. Frank, it's not that. That's Frank. See, you got it wrong. I agree with you. But when you're playing Christmas music all through it, you know, when it's a Christmas party, I got to tell you, yeah, it's a holiday movie. I'm gonna go to do the mat on this one, Frankie boy. We're going to the mats. We're going to the mats on this one. I'm gonna say Die Hard's a Christmas movie, and
what's the Christmas behind it?
It's set in the Christmas time, so Bruce Willis is going to L.A. to visit his semi-ex-wife and kids, and he arrives at her holiday Christmas party. And during the holiday Christmas party, the place gets taken over, and he has to free everybody, and it ends with a Christmas song. So it's a Christmas movie.
What?
It's as Christmas movie as Christmas Vacation is. Think about it. What's Christmas Vacation?
Christmas Vacation is a Christmas movie.
Why?
Because it's all about the Christmas decorations, the Christmas tree.
And yeah, I got it. So is this movie. It's just got...
No, it has nothing to do with Christmas.
Oh, you're so wrong. You're 100% wrong.
No, negative.
Oh, my God. That's why you're a Jet fan, because you don't know anything. You just don't know anything. God, boy. Hey, guys, we're going to be back next week with our holiday show. I don't know what we're going to do. Maybe Jeff will dress up as Santa Claus for us. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what does. Paul Gill will be joining us. We're going to talk about the Get Back Beatles. Since Jeff won't watch it, I'll have to talk about it with Paul. And if you haven't watched the documentary, I suggest, if you're any sort of a music fan, the history about it is incredible. Do yourself a favor. Get on Disney Plus if you haven't gotten it, and watch Get Back. Frankie Catalano, I guarantee you watched it. Frank Catalano, did you watch the Get Back the Beatles documentary? Because I know you've got to be a guy who watched it. So we'll see if anybody else did. And we're going to start talking to a little football. We got a lot of other stuff to get to, and time's running short. But you did. Frank, what'd you think? Did you think it was worth the nine-hour investment?
Nine-hour investment.
Yes. I didn't watch it in one shot. I watched one episode one weekend. I watched another episode the next weekend. But watching these guys come up with these songs is amazing. It's amazing. It's history. It's talking about two of the greatest songwriters of all time. And watching them work out songs, it was great. Ooh. Lennon and McCartney.
Please.
Oh, my God. I know. Is it Iommi and Geezer Butler? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Let me give you my take on the Beatles.
Please, give me your take. Because it's almost meaningless, like your take on the Giants. But go ahead.
The first two albums sounded the same. Then albums three and four sounded the same.
Uh-huh.
And five and six sounded the same.
Uh-huh.
And when they ended, they kept churning out shit that sounded the same.
That's your take?
I'm not a big Beatles fan.
Neither am I. I'm not the biggest Beatles fan.
I appreciate them, but no.
I am not the biggest Beatles fan in the world, but to sit there, first off, the film itself was, the fact that it's 50-something years old and it was in the condition it was in and it's as good as it is amazing. Then, yes, watching McCartney and Lennon go back and forth on music and changing things, and they have a clipboard and they're changing words, and It was fascinating as a music fan to watch these two geniuses write music and write these songs that are still to this day classics.
Geniuses.
No air quotes, geniuses.
That's what I'm asking you. I'm just quoting you.
Yes, I'm quoting that Paul McCartney and John Lennon are geniuses. Yes. You don't consider them geniuses.
Can we please talk about something better than this?
Oh, my God. This is talking about history.
Get into some better shit.
Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom. All right, we're going to switch over to a little football. We haven't talked sports at all today. So let's get to
talk about the hot seat.
You want to talk about the hot seat?
Yeah.
All right, so you want to talk about it? Go ahead. What do you got on the hot seat?
So I'm questioning you.
Go ahead.
I'm questioning you. Okay?
Bring it, big boy.
So it certainly seems as though that Gettleman is history.
I think it's all but a done deal, yes.
Good. Thanks fucking God.
Is that all you got?
No.
That's your hot seat? Okay.
But now, who's the coach? Who are you going after?
Nobody. Joe Judge.
Who do you want?
Joe Judge.
Well, I mean, sorry. First, let's start with the general manager. Who do you want?
That I have no idea. I don't know. I honestly don't know who I would. There isn't a guy out there I would say, that's the guy I want to get my hands on. So I have no idea.
You want to keep?
Yes.
Judge, mm-hmm. Jones. And I'm assuming you want to keep Barkley, too.
Here's what I would do. If I was the Giants right now, it's a fire sale. Okay. I want to keep Judge because I don't want to change my coach again 2 years in. I hired the guy thinking he was the guy. Not me personally, but I'm John Mara. But to me, if you're the Giants, you have to let
somebody. Nobody ever hires a coach and says, this is going to be the guy to get us to 7 wins.
I agree.
We'll take it from there.
I agree. So I'm saying is, if I'm John Mara, I got to give this guy more than just 2 years. Okay, we've been bad for a few years now. We got to give somebody a chance to change the culture and fix it. We can't come in again and change it. Now, what do I think about Daniel Jones and Barkley? Barkley, I would be hesitant to bring back, and I certainly am not giving him a big contract. If he took a medium one-year deal to prove himself, I would bring him back. If not, now I've heard rumors trading him and Daniel Jones and receiver to Seattle for Russell Wilson. I've heard all these different rumors. None of it's happening. None of that's going to happen.
We don't know. And if it does.
Well, all I'll say is this. If I'm John Mara, I'm going to hire the best candidate available for my general manager, and then I'm going to let him make all the decisions on whether Daniel Jones is my quarterback. Now, I'll tell you this. Same thing I'll tell you. Who's going to quarterback the Giants next year? Now, this is if Daniel Jones is healthy, the next not a big deal. His career could be over at this point. I'm watching and saying this reminds you of the kid David Wilson they drafted a few years back, and he hurt his neck and never played. So I'm saying is right now, who's my quarterback? If I'm going to get a retread or play Mike Glennon next year, I'd rather Daniel Jones play. And the guys
I'll play Mike Glennon.
And I agree with you. And then in the draft, none of these kids are coming out of there with – if you watch any of the draft experts, they'll all tell you the same thing. These guys are maybe late first round, early second round draft picks at best. I look at Daniel Jones
anytime soon.
Yeah, I never said that Daniel Jones is the greatest quarterback in the world right now. But I'll say is this. He's an adequate quarterback. He can run with the football. He can throw the football. I want to see him with an offensive line. And I want to see him with a healthy set of receivers.
Paraplegic.
He might be. And if that's the case, then we got to go find a quarterback. But I'm not going to jettison him. And I know what he can do. And I'm hoping that a brand new offensive coordinator, somebody with a young mind, he's going to come in here, change it around, play to his strengths, fix the offensive line with the general manager, and he's going to turn it to, at the very least, a successful quarterback.
What you need is somebody that's going to come in and make hasty decisions.
No, we don't need hasty decisions.
No. You need somebody that's just going to come in and fly by the seat of his pants.
No.
And just make decisions that are people going to be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's what you want.
Ruin the rest of this team the rest of the way.
You want, that's what you want because you're a disaster of a person. So, yes. And no, well,
not true at all.
Frankie, I don't think Wilson is going to wind up in Denver. I tell you, I still think he goes to Miami. I still think he winds up in a big city. There's only three places, and I'm not sure. Did you hear what three places he said he would go to? I know one was supposedly the Giants. Yeah, Russell Wilson said he would go to three places, one of them being the Giants.
Definitely the Giants. I think it was the New Orleans Saints, and I forget who else. And Frank Catalano, yes, Zach Wilson is horrendous. He's fucking horrendous. The guy, when he's even on the sideline, he's slowly regressing. He doesn't even have to be on the fucking field to regress. Guy's just getting worse and worse and worse. It's amazing how bad that kid is.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I happen to agree with that. So you're ripping your boy, my boy Gettleman, but shouldn't you be ripping your boy Joe Douglas at this point?
For what?
For drafting another loser disaster.
Not yet.
Not yet?
Not yet, no. Next year.
Next year.
Yeah, I'll give him a listen. Trevor Lawrence, once in a lifetime, once in a generation talent, correct?
No, Matt, I don't think that Kenny Pickett is worth a top 10 draft pick. I'm sorry. I don't. I know you do. I know you're high on him. I think he's a good player. No. And everything I've read so far from Kuiper and all those other experts will all tell you the same thing. The kid's a good ball player, and he may turn into something. He's not a top 10 pick. So by all means, you want to draft him. I would never draft Kenny Pickett in the top 10. If I can get him later in the first round, maybe. I would think about it. I would take a flyer on him. I think I loved what he did in that last game, in the championship game. I thought he played really well. But, yes, Frank, I agree with you. They're reaching for quarterbacks, and it's the same thing. Everybody reached for Zach Wilson.
Everybody panics.
Yeah.
And when the opportunity to get a quarterback goes, they jump all over it and hope that they get somebody.
Yeah.
Okay? It's unbelievable.
No, I agree with you on that. And everybody, I mean – I'm sorry. I said it last year. I thought Zach Wilson was a tremendous reach. The one guy I liked was Mac Jones, and Now, if Mac Jones winds up with the Jets, do I think he's as good as he is this year? No. He wound up in the perfect place where they're not asking him to do a hell of a lot. They're asking him to be a game manager.
On the Jets this year, it was going to be terrible, no matter who it was. Mm-hmm. You could put Tom Brady on the Jets, he's going to be terrible.
Oh.
They have no protection. They're a bad team. What could be said? They're a bad, bad team.
I agree. Listen, I'm sorry. I'm just texting something to my son. So, again, Steelers need a quarterback. Yeah, I agree. Steelers are going to I think the Steelers are going to try and bring in a veteran to do a quick fix. I think they're old enough now where they can't go and draft somebody. And again, I don't think there's anybody that you could draft next year that would immediately light up the league, Jeff. I think that's the problem. Don't you agree? I also think that, you know, Mike Tomlin's going to be on the hot seat. He's not going to want to start all over again with a rookie. If, you know, he brings in a rookie quarterback or a young quarterback and then they have a really bad season, I think his ass on the hot seat right now. Come on, Jeff. I think at some point.
I don't think so. I think if anything, a rookie quarterback actually buys him time, because who's he going to take? I'll ask you your question. Who's he going to take? Here he is in free agency or whatever. A couple guys get released. Who's going on the Steelers? Who's he taking?
I don't know. That's the question of the day. Who's that? That's the question of the day out there. Who are you going to take?
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing right now.
Of course it's a big thing, man.
Yeah, and again, I don't think there's anybody coming out in the draft that's going to make a huge difference in the immediate future. Now, is it possible that Wilson's available to go there? I don't know. Is it possible? You people talk about Aaron Rodgers. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going anywhere but the West Coast, and there's nowhere in the West Coast for him to go.
Maybe he goes to Seattle.
I don't see it. I think Seattle's going to have a tremendous turnover. I think Wilson may be gone. I think Pete Carroll's coach's last game this year up there is going to be up there this year. Listen, Denver's a place that some place can wind up in, and they do have a couple quarterbacks up there. I don't think anybody good. I'm not a Bridgewater guy, and I'm certainly not a Drew Lock guy, but you know it's possible. So we'll see. I mean, If I'm the Giants and I'm bringing the GM, Jeff, yes, I'm looking for – I am definitely looking to turn over the roster, 100%.
I think that's a given.
Yeah, I have no problem saying that I am – I'm sorry, my sons are harassing me to put a bet in for them right now. I'm trying to figure it out as I do this. But, yeah, I mean, I think I'd be happy with any moves they make. I think there's plenty. Tom, listen, A-Rod is going to Denver. Aaron Rodgers is going to Denver. They have weapons, cap room, and lots of draft pick. You know what? I can actually see it on both parts. I think both parties will be happy to part ways. Can you see Aaron Rodgers going to Denver, though? Anything's possible.
You see Peyton Manning going to Denver.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, but I don't know.
But you know what? Is Denver ready to win, though? I don't think that's going to be the case.
Very good question, Jeff. Not sure about that. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure of that. I'm going to say that the answer to that is no. John Schneider from Seattle or Loomis from Saints would be solid GMs for the Giants. I don't know enough about them, Matt. At this point, there's nobody out there that I would jump on as a Giant fan to say that's the guy I want. I know people talk about Louis Riddick. I don't know enough about him to say that. So we'll see. We'll see. The Giants got a lot to do. We're going to play out the season. But here's the thing. As a Giant fan, I'm extremely disappointed in the receiving core, that those guys have not. You know, to me, Jeff, I think that the today's player is soft. I'm sorry. Guys miss way too many games for strains and pulls. I'm sorry. I can't help it.
These guys probably use it. They tweak a little something. I got this. I got that. It gives them some chance maybe to be held back a little bit.
Yeah.
Look, make a late season run. I'm not saying I agree with it.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
You got to think of it.
Yeah, I just, you know, to me, it's just, you know, I mean, these guys every week can't play a game. They twisted their knee. I mean, at some point, you know, at some point you got to get on the field and play the game. And I
agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, Frankie, I don't disagree with you. I think to a certain extent, I think they get held back because of the money they make, and they're not trying to ruin. But I think at some point these guys have to play through it a little bit. I mean, we watched football long enough to say these guys need to be able to, you know, to play through a little bit of a nagging injury. I'm not saying be out there with a torn ACL, but
the last couple of years because of COVID.
Uh-huh.
There hasn't been proper preseason and everything else, so you're not getting these players ready in time. And now that they added the extra game and took away a week of preseason,
right?
You know, that even hurt more.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
You're not getting these people, stretched out and ready into game shape, and then all of a sudden they're hitting the field. Some of them are hitting with less than half the work that they actually had. But then again, certain positions, you don't want your quarterback getting hit no matter how much extra work you want him to get.
No, of course not.
Certain receivers, certain running backs, you don't want these guys getting hurt. Or these defensive players, this year seemed to be the year of the Achilles tendon. How many of them were popping?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Non-contact injuries, some of them.
No, I agree with that. I do. I agree with you on that, Jeff. I do. Again, I think it comes down to that they don't hit enough in the offseason. There's not enough training camp, not enough hard work in training camp. And when they have time to hit the season, you're getting hit and you're playing in these games, and it's different than jogging through a practice in August. And these guys, these muscles are not responding correctly, and they're getting a lot of pulls and tears. And, you know, I just think it's the players are a little on the soft side. That's just my my opinion, obviously. It's not perfect, but I that's the way I feel.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure something out here. I'm about to give up on this, boys. I'm sorry. I'm trying to help my sons out here.
What are you doing?
Yeah, they want me to make some bets for them, and I can't seem to get to where they want to go. So the site is they use FanDuel, and it's an annoying site. Hold on, I think I might have found something here. Let's see. Kyler Murray. Let's see. My son wants Tyreek Hill. I don't see him on my sheet here anywhere. Sorry, Chris. Can't get it done. Anyway, so, yeah, I mean, listen, I want Teddy to get hit and hit and hit again. Frankie, you're a menace, Frankie. I'm telling you right now. Let me ask you this, though, Jeff. In all seriousness, which of the two local teams is closest to turning it around? In all honesty, if you had to predict, whether it's and close to be 10 years, but which two teams, in your opinion, are the closest? Which team is the closest?
I think I would give the nod to the Jets at this point in time.
Because they have what you think is the coach and quarterback?
No, because I think they've already hit absolute rock bottom.
You think they've hit rock bottom? Okay.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. And I think they're also on their way up. I think that they've hit rock bottom and turn around and head back up. The Giants have yet to hit rock bottom, I feel. As bad as they've been, I don't think that they've hit rock bottom. I think they're going to hit rock bottom next year if they make the changes.
Well, again, I think there's a lot to be said for that. I'm not sure about that. I think the Giants have hit rock bottom. I haven't recognized it as rock bottom yet. I mean, you keep winning 4 or 5 games a year, it's pretty much rock bottom.
Yeah, but they win 4 or 5 games a year, but they're also playing well in some of those games.
That's true.
But they're not winning.
Yep.
They're competitive. The Jets just fucking go out there. You know, they flip the coin, and they go on the sideline, wait for the kickoff, and they're already down fucking 17-0. And they didn't even get a play in yet. They just suck.
Yeah. No, I agree. I just don't think that I believe necessarily that the Giants are I don't think they've necessarily I think they've hit the rock bottom as far as I'm concerned. So I think I just figured this out. Give me 2 seconds to figure this out for my.
Let's see what happens next year.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Giants are going to. I think they're going to have to. I think they're going to come in, and whoever runs the team is going to keep the coach and probably the quarterback, because I don't think in the short term they can come up with somebody else that's going to do a better job. Now, they may draft a quarterback. I don't know. Maybe they'll take Kenny Pickett. You know, they have two first-round picks, and, you know, the way the the Bears are playing, the Giants are going to have two nice high draft choices, unlike Seattle winning games. Does that bother you now? Seattle's winning games, and you can't even get like high draft picks because of it?
Yeah, Jets love. And Frank, do I like the Jets head coach? I don't know.
Oh,
sometimes yes, yeah, sometimes no. Sometimes I think that he's okay. Do I think he's going to win them a Super Bowl? Definitely not. I don't see that. But a lot of people say a lot of good things about him. You know, it's also his first year there. I think we have to give him at least a second year to see what he can do, what happens. You know, maybe he went out there, he just wanted to see what these people play, knowing that he ain't going to make any kind of turnaround in his first year.
Yeah.
So his second year is the pivotal one as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I would agree. Listen, you can't go by what you're seeing right now. I think it's tough to say. I'm not sure which team is closer. I think it comes down to who has the coach and quarterback, and I'm not sure right now for either team. Does Daniel Jones stay around? Maybe he's a little far, obviously much farther ahead than what I've seen out of Zach Wilson so far. Doesn't mean Wilson can't turn around, but I think, yeah, next year. The problem is, Jeff, it's, and I want to get to Urban Meyer next, but, I mean, I think that teams are just, you hire a guy, you got to give him 3 or 4 years. You know, it's not like you're taking over a team that's established and playing well, and you turn it, you have, you know, and then 2 years later, you've completely messed it up. You know, you're talking about teams that haven't been good in a long time. You can't expect a coach to come in here and change it in 2 years. It doesn't work.
I understand that, but you know what? It's in 2 years, it's not just the coach. The coach at this point in time is just an extension of Gettleman.
Yeah.
And Gettleman has done nothing.
No, I agree with you. Listen, all kidding aside, when I break it down, there's a lot of good stuff. But the one thing that Gettleman came in with was there's too many injuries, and I'm going to fix the offensive line. And to date, he's not fixed either one. So to me, I can tell you he hit on Daniel Jones. He did not hit on Barkley so far. I thought he did a decent job, but he overpaid Leonard Williams. Blake Martinez was a great pickup. Bradbury was a great pickup. So there's some good and it's bad, but the big thing for me is he never fixed the offensive line. Now, listen, I think he tried. You know, he drafted guys. He went out and got the best offensive lineman available in the free agency a few years ago with Solder. It hasn't worked out. But
no,
but at the end of the day, you're 4 years in, and the offensive line is no closer to being better than when you got here. It's on you. Yeah, regardless of why, whether it's injuries, lack of playing time, lack of good play, whatever it is, at the end of the day. And, yeah, Frank, at a minimum 3 years, to me, if you're going to have a coach come in, you got to give him 4 years. He's got to get 4 years to change the culture and get better.
4 years. Maybe three. Nobody's getting four. Maybe three. And more than likely, if you don't see a change by the end of the second year, the third year, they're not getting into the fucking playoffs.
No, listen, again, where were you when you started? Where are you now? Like, are you getting progressively better? For year one was 2 wins. Year two was 3 wins. Year four, you went in 8 games. Again, where are you each year? That tells me. But with Ben Gettleman, I'm not seeing better wins. I see better culture. I see some better players. But
culture doesn't mean nothing. Culture just means that the guys are getting along.
Right.
There's no problems in that. Urban Meyer is not there with some of the shit that he says. You know?
Yeah, that's a whole – I mean, I didn't expect him to be back next year. I just did not expect him to get fired when he did. I mean, they announced it after midnight last night. And, I mean, if it's true, the last straw was – a few months ago, he kicked his kicker. I mean, what does that mean? Did he walk by and kick the guy? I mean, I don't understand. Like, you know,
you didn't read the story?
I read the story. It said he walked by and the guy said out of a 10 kick, it was a 5. What does that mean?
Well, that's what Urban Meyer said, right?
No, that's what the kicker said. I read the kicker's.
Well, the kicker said that when he got kicked, I guess on a scale of 1 to 10, where was the kick?
5.
It was a 5. So it wasn't a hard kick, but nonetheless, you kicked a man. One man kicked another man, and he turned around and he was like, you ever kick me again, I'll kick your ass or something. And then Urban Meyer says, I'll kick whoever I want. I'm the coach. So too bad the player didn't get up right then and there and knock him the fuck out.
Well, that's part of it, too. But, you know, when I played, I remember my coach walking by me, kicking me in the ass and saying, hey, don't make stupid plays like that. I get it, but, you know, it ain't like he walked up and said, I'm going to kick your ass and kick, you know, and booted him. I don't, you know, listen, to me, I think the player's a little on the soft side and didn't like the coach berating him. I'm sorry.
Definitely not.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're wrong on that.
First of all, you're talking about a professional football player. That's
right.
Second of all, you're talking about a coach that was just in college and is trying a bunch of stupid stuff from what I read in the paper.
Yes, I agree with you.
And then when you're a coach, you want to build your team up, not tear the player down. I understand what you're saying, but like, all right, come on, man. You know, you got to play better or whatever. You can do this or you can get your player psyched. You know, kick him in the ass and, you know, hey, you kick me in the ass again, you touch me again, I'm going to fuck you up. I'll kick whoever the fuck I want. I'm the coach. Well, what is that? I don't give a fuck who you are. You should have got up and knocked him the fuck out.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I
can't eat. I ain't got no teeth, coach.
Yeah, listen.
You're going to get fucking let go.
Urban Meyer needed to go. I agree with it. He was a terrible coach. I said it from the beginning that he wasn't going to last here because, you know, guys at that level in college can never adapt. Jeff, these guys go out there in college. They show up there a couple of minutes a day. They don't coach the teams. You know, they got 100 assistants running around out there. You know, these guys are politicians who show up on game day and make decisions. You know, in the NFL, you got to show up early. You review tape. You're going through all the stuff. And I knew it was never going to work for this guy. But I also think that there's probably a little bit over there of people who are just a little too on the sensitive side.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I think it's a little too sensitive.
Do you think of this? Do you kick Tom Brady?
No, but there's no Tom Brady's on that team. There's no Tom Brady's there.
I'm asking you a question. Do you kick Tom Brady?
No. Why would I kick a guy who's won 7 Super Bowls?
I'm asking you a question. Simple yes or no.
Okay.
Would you kick a Joe Montana?
Yeah, I might, actually. But, yeah, no, I got you.
Okay. So you wouldn't kick certain players, but you go kick the kicker. All right. So now, if that was a defense, would Myles Garrett get kicked?
I don't know. What if Mert Meyer was walking by the guy and just gave him a boot in the ass and said, hey, come on, man, step it up this week?
I doubt that's what it was.
Well, I mean, what do you think? He walked by and just for the hell of it, just said, let me kick this guy just for the hell of it? I'm not buying that.
That's what that guy's saying.
I know that's what he's saying, but he could be a pussy too.
Trevor Lawrence
came
out and said that the team needs to fucking... you know, stop the drama, and I hate using that word, stop the drama and focus on football. This is a rookie.
Yeah.
This is a rookie that's having a hard enough time throwing the ball to the other team.
He's not been good this year. But I picked the Jaguars on my sheet this week because I think the Jags are going to win this week. I think it's going to be about football. I think they're going to play good football, and I think they're actually going to win a game this week.
Oh, we will find that out by Sunday afternoon, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I just don't think that, you know, you can't – if you're not going to go up to your defensive lineman or linebacker and kick them in the ass or kick them in the leg or whatever it is and be like, come on, let's go. You got to fucking suck it up, or you got to do this, you got to do that, then you shouldn't be kicking anybody, including the kicker or the punter or whoever. Okay? You know, these guys, you know, punter or not, just because they're playing next to 350-pound guys – and they're a punter, doesn't mean that they can't punt your fucking head off.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it is what it is, but I don't know. I just don't see the reason for doing it.
Well, again, I'm not a big fan of firing coaches in the middle of the season. I don't think you get anywhere out of it. Yeah, I'd like to kick Tony Romo, too. God, he's horrendous.
Well, listen, but this is the thing. You don't understand.
Yeah.
Now they're going to give, instead of next year, playing a different philosophy for 18 games, 17 games, whatever it is, season.
17 games.
Okay? You're going to get 4 games out of a different coaching staff.
Right.
Somebody that's going to be looking to do something different. So if the guy's a running coach or whatever, you know, or play action, whatever you want to say, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Whatever he likes, whatever he favors, now you get to see your team play 4 games of it.
Yeah.
and he's within the organization, so they're going to be familiar with him, so it's not going to be completely foreign to them. But, you know, at least you get a couple games to judge a different way of playing. So, you know, a team like the Jaguars, I think they made a good choice. Urban Meyer, it looked like his career with those them guys were going downhill.
Oh.
As soon as he started getting that lap dance and that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
So you knew that it was just a matter of time. And then some of his fucking responses and the things he said were just plain fucking stupid.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I couldn't agree with you more. I said it before the season. I never thought it would work out, and it certainly did. So, again, Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom, we're here every Thursday night. Today we're going to cut it short about 9 o'clock. I got home late, and I just have a million things to do. So we got another half hour. Stick around with you. It's been great so far. I had a lot of fun early on with my dad. Carmine Glorioso showed up, and all of our friends. And I want to thank all of them, everybody who supports us, and our good friends, Joe and Mike over at Hemp Wizard. Sent Jeff a little bit of a care pack, and Jeff gave a little review. I think Jeff gave it a thumbs up, so make sure you
thumbs up, definitely.
Make sure you go out there, check it out. Hey, Jeff, a couple records fell this week, and I was talking about it with the guys at work, and I'm not a big basketball fan anymore. I know you're not as well, but Seth Curry leads the world now in three-point attempts. And to me, when that record was probably established, teams were shooting maybe, I don't know, 20 a game, 23 pointers. Now teams are shooting 30 and 40 and 50 attempts at three pointers. And then Tom Brady gets 700 TDs last week, which I think is obviously a tremendous record and all that. Shows the longevity and all that. But, you know, I'm not impressed anymore with those records because it's a different era. You know, back in the day when guys, you know, when Dan Marino threw 48 touchdowns in a season, It was huge because guys didn't throw for 48 TDs in a season. Now, 40 is the normal number. So seven, you know what I mean? So first off, does records like that impress you? And my next question is going to be, is there a record out there will could be broken that you would be impressed with? I got a couple for me, but I'll let you.
The only record that I would say that might impress me,
yeah,
believe it or not, would be what was the 54 game hitting streak or 56?
56 games. Yeah.
That would impress me. Other than that, no, nothing else would impress me because in the NFL, for example, I believe that they should have a couple different categories: have a 14 game season, a 16 game season. Now you need a 17 game season. Because now you're getting an extra game.
Yep.
Now, so say you're playing a bad opponent. You're playing a real bad opponent. Or in your division, you play a bad opponent twice, which we all know what that happens.
Sure.
But, like, say the Mac Jones playing, or even Tom Brady, when they were in the AFC East, now you're playing against the Jets twice a year, that you're throwing for 350, 400 yards on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple. All you gotta do is go out there and just start flinging the ball all around, you're going to get yards. And now these guys are playing 17 games apiece. That's extra games to break records.
Sure.
You know, I just think that there's now, in football at the very least, there should be an asterisk next to it.
I'm not sure. I like your idea of having categories for the records to a certain extent.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Okay, I know what you're saying, but Joe Namath goes out and throws for, what, 4,007 yards.
Mm-hmm.
A record that stood for, well, a long time, 10, 15 years,
easy.
Whatever it was.
Yeah, easy, yeah.
And all of a sudden, Dan Fouts comes along, and he just completely shatters it. Now, with two extra games, his guy's throwing for over 1,000 yards more, almost 1,500 yards more of what he threw.
Sure.
Okay? It's unbelievable. So I think that it should not so much that you're recognizing the record.
Right.
But you're saying, you know, this guy did this in 14 games. Then we move to 16 games.
Right.
Now this guy did this in 16 games.
Mm-hmm.
Now we move to 17 games. So now here's where we are for 17 games. It's football. You're going to make money on it no matter what you do. That's all there is to it. It's just,
no.
It's going to make money.
I agree with you. Cal Ripken's record, you know, it's impressive. In the sense that he played that game. But the problem with Cal Ripken's record is Ripken's production severely reduced as it went along. Lou Gehrig did not. when Gehrig was playing, he was still playing at an extremely high level until maybe the last year, year and a half of his career. So I think Ripken, while he managed to break it, if you look at Ripken's production along the way, it was severely hampered. He actually hurt himself by breaking that record and playing every single day, Jeff. That's my opinion.
Yeah, well, there was games where he didn't play the whole game.
Correct.
You know, he just played a little bit, and then they took him out because it counted as playing.
Yeah. No, I agree. At this point, Frankie, you're 100% right. Nobody will ever break that record. But I'll tell you, Jeff, I like your 56-game one. I'll give you a couple for me in baseball that would impress me if somebody broke it. One would be somebody hitting 400 or over 400 now, because nobody is coming close. So anybody who hit 400 would highly impress me in baseball today. And I'll tell you another one. The fact that there's nobody doing steroids now, that's what they say, 61 homers. So nobody outside the steroid era, guys, has beat 61 homers. If somebody would hit 62, Jeff, that would impress me.
62 would definitely be impressive. But you know what? There's always going to be somebody that's going to say that, well, you know, the rightful owner of that record is Bonds.
And yeah.
He has 71, even though I don't believe that. I don't.
Yeah, neither one of us are going to follow with that, and I agree with that. But, yeah, to me, as if you're a pure baseball guy, that's it. And, yeah, Eddie Carey, Rose's hit record is another one that would impress me. That's longevity. I'll go along with that. I think you guys picked some good ones. I was trying to think of one in football that would matter. But, go ahead, Jeff. Sorry, go ahead.
What was it? Ichiro Suzuki, whatever the fuck his name is.
Ichiro, yeah, Ichiro.
Yeah, Ichiro. He, between the Japanese league and the American baseball league, he had more hits.
Yes.
Than he rose, and now nobody even mentions it. Nobody recognizes that achievement because it didn't happen.
Correct.
In American league,
I will tell you, I think Ichiro, had he played his whole career here, would have blown away Pete Rose's record. That guy is one of the best baseball players I've ever seen. I mean, a glove, cannon of an arm, could run, and the guy could hit. The guy could flat out hit the ball. And had he played all his games in the U.S.,
fucking flash.
Yeah, that guy, if he had played eight more years in this country instead of having it in Japan, he would have broke that record here, for sure. The guy was phenomenal. And think about it, the guy came here, he was probably close to 30 years old by the time he started playing baseball here.
Yeah.
And
he just retired like 2 years ago?
Yeah, a couple years back. I mean, the guy was he's one of the few guys that came over with the hype and actually lived up to it. I mean, Hideki Matsui was good, no doubt, but never was great. You know, this guy, Ichiro, was just absolutely fantastic. And one of those players that was once in a lifetime, but he started so late that you just kind of never caught up. And he played in Seattle and kind of got lost in the shuffle up there. And until he played to play for the Yankees, but you know, a good player would have easily beaten Rose's record. I'm sorry, that's true. But yeah, again, some good records. I don't know what this. Is there a record or a thing in football? You know, what would impress you at this point in time, based on the season we have now, all that? What record can you think of? Is it rushing yards? Would rushing yards impress you at this point?
6,000 yards passing, 3,000 yards on the ground.
That would impress you.
10-plus interceptions a year, 25 sacks.
Yeah. I think the interception, again, the problem I have with all those records is you have the extra games now. You know, when most of those records were set, the games where you were playing 14 or 16-game seasons, it's one game. I know it ain't a big – yeah, Anthony, sacks is another one that would impress me to a certain extent because nobody's done it really other than, you know, you've had a couple of guys, but it's been sporadic. But, again, you get that extra game. It's just an extra game in there. So it's
– Sacks is a record that wouldn't impress me because you need another teammate for that.
Well,
you can't go out there – and become a sack leader if you're the best defensive lineman on your team without somebody else. Why are you leaning forward?
Me?
I see you like you're...
Oh, I absolutely. There was a little air biscuit rolling out. Absolutely.
you need a teammate that's going to get attention. Because if not, you're going to get double and triple teamed. And, yeah, while it is a big thing, it's you need help for a sack record.
Yeah.
So to me, that's definitely a team orientated, even though it's a singular record, it definitely needs team help. So
I
can't put myself behind that one. Interceptions, I could see. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in play in a position where you could go after the season sack record and you're like, well, you know, this guy was getting double and triple teamed and somehow he still fucking made it. It's another story. But for the most part of it, somebody else is helping you out, freeing you up. So that's why I don't like sacks.
That's fair. It's a fair comment. No problem. I agree. A couple of things I want to get to before the end of the show. So I want to
field goal too. Field goal.
Field goal's a good one. I would say this. Longest field goal, you know, anybody who can hit a 70-yarder would extremely impress me, because that has nothing to do with longevity or length of season. That's just a strong leg, and I want to see the guy who hits a 70-yard field goal. I think it'll happen.
Longevity? I don't know, because the longer you're in the league, the less chance there's going to be that you're ever going to come close to 70 yards. I think you got to be 25 and under to even think about that.
Okay.
You got to be at the top of your fucking physical strength.
I would agree with that. Yeah, sure, I would agree with that. There's no doubt in that mind. But, yeah, I think hitting a 70-yarder would impress me. You know, something in that range, yeah. Especially to win a game, like a 70-yard kick that wins you a playoff game or a big game, something like that. Yeah, that would be fun to watch. So let's move on to a couple of things. Jeff and Tom here. We got a couple more minutes this week. We're back next week with our big Christmas extravaganza. Hopefully I'm going to get some people to come on and perform and sing some. Hey, Anthony Carey, why don't you call in next week and sing a Christmas carol for us? Sing a Christmas song. I would like you to do that.
What's your recipe for fucking French bread pizza?
You aren't impressed with the French bread pizza thing?
Was I?
Yes.
I don't want to blow his game up, but no.
Hey, Jeff, you know, today I was in a little bit of, I don't know if, I think I pissed off either Nikki Six or somebody representing himself as Nikki Six today.
Yeah, I don't think that was really Nikki Six. Did you happen to email him back?
Well, I tried to go and send him a message and it wouldn't go through. So I went back to the post and I replied to him and said, Nikki, I'd love to talk to you about it. Please message me. And he never did. So it was either Nikki or somebody pretend. Now, I don't know why anybody would pretend to be Nikki Six. There's a lot of people I would like to pretend to be. Nikki Six ain't one of them. And I'll stand by my statement. Motley Crue's records are very good. Motley Crue Live sucked. I don't know how else to say it.
I saw a post on Facebook, which I thought was incredible, where somebody asked everybody their opinion on Mick Mars as a guitar player.
Oh my God. The amount
of people that said that he was an awesome guitar player, great, better than this one, better than that one. I'm like, are we talking about the same Mick Mars? You know, are you fucking kidding me?
Wow, yeah.
Is he 70 by now, Mick
Mars? He's got to be. I mean, if he's not, his neck is. I mean, listen, and you know, the thing that started it was, and it's funny, whoever it was didn't question my statement that they sucked live. It was the thing that I said they should have stayed retired.
He is 70 years old.
Wow. And my problem with Motley Crue is the same as everybody else. Keep making music as long as you want. Do it till you drop. Do it till your fingers fall off. I could care less. I don't care if it's good music or not. Keep making it. Keep touring. But the minute you say, I'm retired, we're not doing this anymore, please come to our last concerts. Then you come back later on, you're a sellout, and you're ripping off your fans. And I have a big problem with that. And that's my only statement by staying retired, is you made this big deal with signing contracts, we're not coming back, and then it's all, well, we made the movie and a lot of people watched the movie and they want us to play. So what? You made an agreement not to play, and now you're screwing all the people who ran to that contract, they went to that thing. So, you know, kiss A for kiss.
That was bullshit anyway.
Of course it was bullshit. It was all horse shit. They didn't think anybody wanted to see him, and I don't know who does. I mean, I don't want to run to see Motley Crue.
Do you want to go to a Motley Crue concert?
No.
The thing is going to smell like fucking piss and fucking Ben Gay. Because the only one that's going to be there are going to be these old 55-year, 60-year-old fucking slut. That have inhaled way too much fucking Aquanet, and when they fucking breathe, their lungs can't expand. So they're like, so they get, you know, they're finished.
Yeah, Frankie, I didn't know that. Did Motley Crue rip Kiss for that? Because, listen, Kiss was wrong. They retired and they would come back. And, you know, what you do is just stay retired or just keep playing forever. It's all fine. Play forever. I'm all for it. But the minute you attach to this is it, then that's it.
Yeah. Wow.
So, I'm with you. And then if that was the real Nikki Sixx, he's welcome to come on the show and tell me anything he wants, Jeff, right? We give him carte blanche.
Sure, whatever.
Hey, let's see. Jeff, do you know who Mike Naismith is?
Yes, that was the guy Naismith. From the Monkees.
Yeah, he passed away this week. One of the two fake musicians who were hired to pretend to be musicians on the show. Were you ever a Monkees fan? Were you one of those guys watching it when you were a kid on Channel 11?
Watching it, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I've tried to tune into a couple episodes, and then this weekend, the Decades channel, they are running the entire Monkey thing, and I dare any human being to sit down and watch two episodes of the Monkees back to back. It is impossible to watch.
Is that bad?
Oh my God, it is impossible to watch. It's just, you know, they tried to come up with the American version of the Beatles. With two guys who weren't musicians but could sing and two guys who were musicians who couldn't act. And yes, his mom did invent Whiteout. His mom was a prick who made his life miserable. But yes, she did. She worked doing something and with electric typewriters, she created Whiteout to fix her issues. So yes, he inherited the, Whiteout fortune, as they say. But there's a piece of the childhood goes. Now we only got one Monkey left, Jeff. Mickey Dolenz, yeah. Is it?
Yeah, that's right.
Peter Tork is gone. Davy Jones is gone. I was a Davy fan. I liked Davy Jones when I was a kid. He was cool.
They were all the same. What difference?
He was cool. That's all. Davy Jones. But the Monkees were never my thing. I tried to watch it, but it was just too bizarre.
Did Davy Jones hit Marsha?
I think he did. I think there was a little bit of an age problem, but I'm not buying that he bypassed.
Did he fucking flew back to England?
Yeah, I think he took off out of the States, no extradition treaties and all of that, and hit it and ran.
Yeah, I'm beginning.
Turned Marsha into a hoe. She became a hoe after that, Jeff.
Oh my God.
Marsha was a hoe. Truck stop, coke snorting, whore.
Bobby was on fucking Brazzers looking at videos of his.
Pretty much, yeah. But Marsha was a truck stop whore. So, but she straightened out of life, Jeff. She just straightened out of life. So, and
yeah, well, once she got hit in the nose, I think that was it. Thank God after that.
Jeff, how about 40 years moving pictures? 40 years old. Where do you rank that? For me, it's my favorite Rush album. It might not be the best Rush album, but it's my favorite because it's the first one I'm pretty sure it's the first Rush album I ever got. And again, another 1980 album.
Yeah, definitely one of the first I ever had.
Yeah. Now,
I thought I was big shit because I got it first.
Yes.
And Rush will have Permanent Waves. And I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Another good album.
Like, oh, this was out before that one. I'm like, oh.
Well, who knew? I never heard of Rush until I heard Tom Sawyer on the radio, and then, though it was weird because those were, you know, I never knew where to place Rush in the rock and roll category. Obviously, not a heavy metal band. Now we know them as progressive, whatever that means. But they, you know, Tom Sawyer hit the radio waves back in on PLJ. I think was playing their music at that point, right? Or
if not, definitely 102.7 WNEW, yeah. I don't know if WPLJ was playing it in 80, yeah, because I remember them giving out the tickets, not the tickets, the stickers for the Screaming for Vengeance album.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, the WPLJ Rocks, Rocktober, and shit like that. And
interesting.
So, yeah, I remember that.
All right, so, I mean, so... where do you rank the Moving Pictures album in the hierarchy of Rush? Is that, if you were reaching for a Rush album, what would be the first album you ran to?
Oh, well, you're asking the wrong person. I like songs off albums, maybe not so much albums, but I would have to say that probably Moving Pictures because it's one of the only albums that I could listen to straight through. But I got to really be in the mood to listen to Rush.
Yeah. No, so, see, I can, yeah. The early stuff, I mean, Permanent Waves, 2112 is a fantastic album. Yeah. Just strange in a lot of ways. But Moving Pictures, you know, I can flip on and go, you know, Tom Sawyer, Limelight, and Red Barchetta before I even blink my eye, and three great tunes right there.
Witch Hunt.
Oh.
Camera Eye.
Yeah. Great, just a great album. So,
good stuff, man. Some good stuff.
40 years, man. 40 years.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Right?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a great, 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 great album. Good stuff. We'll maybe play a little of that, and again, we're going to get call it a day. I think there was one more thing I wanted to talk about before we ended tonight's show. I didn't want to talk about Biff Fifer. Hold on. I'm going to give you something for next week, Jeff. There was an article in Blabbermouth that said that the very first real heavy metal song was Helter Skelter by the Beatles.
If they didn't have this fucking documentary about the Beatles, would they be saying that?
I don't know, Jeff. And
Anthony Carey, no, Subdivision was on, what the fuck was the name of that album? Power Windows? No, not Power Windows.
No.
Oh, man, what was the name of that album? It wasn't on the same album as Tom Sawyer.
No, definitely not. No, definitely not.
Signals.
Yes, good call, Jeffrey. Good call on that, Jeff. That's a good
album with Signals.
Absolutely. Oh, well, guys, listen, we're going to end this. Jeff's a little tired. I just got home. I'm going to end this one up. We're going to have a big show next week. I hope everybody comes back. Lots of stuff happening in the Hard Rock and Sports world. Community, I want to also congratulate our good friend Joe Gandis, who's decided to revive the old Around the Kit show. So I don't know. I didn't pay attention to all the details. I did see Joe's launch video. So if you guys are interested in catching up with that, by all means, check Joe out. Okay? But we'll be back next Thursday night. It'll be our last show before Christmas. I'm going to try to have some guests. I know Paul Gill will be joining us to talk a little about the Beatles and a little bit about the Mets. I'm going to try to reach out. Maybe Anthony Carey will call in, do a little Christmas. Now, what do you think, Anthony? We get to do a Christmas song on the show next week. That would be nice. We'll do a little live with that. Remember, December 28th, we got the great Christmas jam, Jeff, coming up.
Yeah, looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, I learned a couple of new tunes for it. I learned a little Fly By Night just in honor of Father Bob. If the priest asks you to learn something, I'm going to have to learn it.
Learn what guitar he's bringing. Guy has a collection on Guitar Center, man.
But we're doing something a little special next week, guys. So make sure you come on back. I want to thank everybody who paid attention tonight. We had a ton of people talking to us during the show, which is a lot of fun for Jeff and myself. You know, besides talking to us ourselves, we can talk to all you guys. So I appreciate it. Thanks to all of our supporters, Jay Giacio, Sam Bone, Talking the Fast Lane, Chris LaFrancesca's Metro Records on eBay, and of course our new friends at Hemp Wizard Beard Care Company.com. Make sure you check those guys out.
Did we hit the 8%?
Oh, yes. I did want to say we are fractions away, Jeff. We are one good, we are 7.8-something%. We are this close to cracking 8. And we crack 8, it's matzahs for everybody.
Wow.
Oh, yes. We are close to getting there. We are this close to getting to our number of 8. And eight share in Israel. So please, during Hanukkah, we were huge, Jeff, I understand. We were huge.
Listen, Hanukkah, 8 days of lights.
Yes.
8%, they go hand in hand.
That's right. There you go.
A lot of eights there.
Eights. So thanks to all the guys at Hemp Wizard Beard Care Company for sending Jeff out a little bit of a package. And hopefully after the holidays, Jeff will come up with a scent or a fragrance. And maybe we can get – we got the guys from Black Sasquatch having their own fragrance coming out.
I already got a name for the new fragrance, man.
You want to share with us or you're saving it?
Yeah. First, I want to take a little inspiration there, man. This smells so Christmassy. Anyway, you got to think of it. Let's name real quick.